This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Ball State President Jeff Mearns returns this week to talk about one of his new responsibilities. Earlier this month, he was elected chair of the Mid-American Conference Council of Presidents, a body that governs athletics activities for the MAC's 12 member schools. We covered that last week. This week, he tells us about his role as the MAC's representative to the NCAA Board of Directors. This is timely, as earlier in the week, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in favor of college student athletes regarding their ability to earn educational benefits beyond their athletic scholarships. Athletes might now receive education-related benefits such as graduate school tuition, computers, tutoring, and more. The NCAA argued such benefits would blur the line between the athlete's amateur status and professional athletes. The Supreme Court disagreed, shutting out the NCAA 9-0 in its vote. We'll discuss these issues and more in this week's installment of the Ball State Pandemic Update. President Mearns, welcome back.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning.
Good morning. This isn't so much about the pandemic this week, although we'll touch upon it in just a bit. But first, tell us about your new role with the NCAA.
Well, as you indicated a moment ago, my appointment as chair of the Council of Presidents means I also am the representative for the MAC on the Division I Board of Directors. And that is the board, the governing group that sets the policies and the rules for all of Division I sports. And so, as you also said a moment ago, this is going to be a very interesting time to have a seat at that table, given all of the dynamic pressures and changes that will be coming forward in the future to Division I athletics.
What's your view on the Supreme Court's ruling? You, being an attorney and former federal prosecutor, you've got some feel for at least the Supreme Court. How do you feel about that ruling on student athlete benefits and possible pay?
Yeah, you mentioned it was 9-0. It was a shutout, and it's not often in this era that the Supreme Court issues unanimous decisions, and perhaps there's a message in that for us who are responsible for administering intercollegiate athletics. But it also was a relatively narrow ruling. As you mentioned, it allows the institutions to provide additional benefits beyond what has been the tradition, you know, scholarships and meals and housing. And we now can and are able to provide additional benefits so long as those benefits are related to education. But to me, what was interesting was not so much the majority opinion that all of the justices signed on to, but Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence really telegraphed that the NCAA may not be able to prohibit other compensation, like direct payment salaries for student athletes. And if you've had a chance to read his concurring opinion, he really expressly invited student athletes to bring those lawsuits in order to obtain compensation. He also, though, said that, you know, Congress might intervene with legislation on the issue. And it's my hope that Congress will clarify what is permissible and what is not permissible. You know, presently, there are a lot of state laws out there that are allowing student athletes to be paid for their name, image, and likeness. Those laws are inconsistent. Some are really, frankly, some are in direct conflict with one another. And some states, like Indiana, don't have a law on the books at all. So In just a week, on July 1st, when some of those laws take effect, we are about to embark on an era really of extraordinary chaos in the administration of intercollegiate athletics. So it's my hope that we'll be able to persuade Congress to pass one law that will set uniform standards on these issues all across the country, because the chaos will not be good for the institutions, and I don't think it will actually be good for the student athletes.
At this time, you have a very, very interesting perch, both being the chair of the Council of Presidents in the Mid-American Conference and being on the Division I Board of Directors with the NCAA representing the MAC. How is this likely to affect the MAC? Because I can imagine a number of fans are going to say, oh, well, there it goes out the window. The Big Ten schools and the SEC are going to have limousines and so on and so forth, and the MAC, we're still taking the bus. What do you foresee there, or is it just a wild guess right now?
Well, I think the one thing I do feel confident about is that it will continue to exacerbate the strain, really exacerbate the differences between the institutions, as you suggest, in the Big Ten, that are spending $200 or $250 million a year on college athletics. And an institution like ours, where we're barely spending a little over $20 million. So they're outspending us 10 to 1, and it will give them now the opportunity to use those resources to pay their student athletes. But I'm hopeful, as I say, that there will be some consistent legislation either out of the NCAA or, frankly, out of Congress that will enable us to clarify what those limits are, so that we can maintain some form of competitive balance. Again, we're certainly punching above our weight, but our football team demonstrated that they could do that. Our baseball team demonstrated that they can do that. I just hope that it won't become such a free-for-all that the competitive balance will be so tilted that it will not even be a fair competition.
Moving on to the pandemic for a moment, what is the latest on Ball State's fall semester plan for vaccinations, classes, and other gatherings as we know it today?
Yeah, so this past week, we rolled out more incentives for our employees to get vaccinated. We're offering vouchers for the bookstore and the dining hall and parking permits. And we're having drawings at random to select those employees. And we immediately saw a nice bump in the number of employees who have notified us that they've been vaccinated. We're now nearly 1,700 employees have already notified us that they've been vaccinated. That's about 50% of our employee base. And frankly, I think the number is higher. Those are only the employees who have notified us. So I'm encouraged by that. We'll be rolling out similar incentives for our students very soon. So I think we're on track to resume the traditional on-campus educational and event experiences that we all enjoy. And in fact, that we indeed cherish.
President Mearns, thank you very much for being with us this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, Stan. Be well.
You as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.